NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb here with you. Let's talk some Giants football right now. We'll do so with the Super Bowl MVP, the legendary Giants quarterback and still superstar in the studio show for the NFL on CBS. And that, of course, is Phil Sims. Phil, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Doing well. Can't complain. I will be honest. I'm no preseason games this week, but at least we got all the college games starting tomorrow to watch. But really excited about the season as always. I think everybody is. Tired of hearing about the draft, the combine, all that other stuff. And, you know, preseason was awesome, but it's over. So just can't wait. I'm sure you're excited, too. Gives you a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no doubt about it. With Labor Day weekend right around the corner, you got football coming back. And then also it helps when Bruce Springsteen is making a return to MetLife Stadium in the swamps of Jersey. It just got me wondering, Phil Sims, when he goes to a concert, who does he like to go to see? And do you bring along Boomer Esiason with you?
No, I don't want to ruin the night by bringing Boomer along. It'll be about him instead of who's performing. But, I don't go to many concerts anymore or anything. I like to go to little small places and listen to people when I do. And quite honestly, the 70s, 80s, and 90s are, you know, that's what I like. That's all the music I heard. I think a lot of us, and I don't know if you're different, but we kind of fall back into all the music that we listened to in college. And, you know, no matter what, I'll never listen to as much music in my life now in a year that I used to. And in college, it seemed like we played music constantly. That's not the way it is now.
So you weren't linking up with Aaron Rodgers this summer to go see Taylor Swift is what you're telling me.
Well, listen, if he'd have called me, man, I definitely would have gone with him because Taylor Swift is awesome. But no, I did not go, and I'm not a Swiftie or anything like that. I do admire her work, and I tell you what, I love the way she treats her fans. The concerts are forever. Everybody that I know around here where I live has gone to a Taylor Swift concert, and I have not heard one person ever complain about the performance or how long it was or anything like that. So good for her.
So let's get to the Giants. Last year, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane brought a lot of excitement in year one back to this organization. You being one of the legendary Giants, what did you kind of take away from seeing what Daboll and Shane were able to do in year one?
Well, year one, listen, that was an unbelievable year last year. It was orchestrated and managed by Brian Daboll just almost perfectly the whole season long. I think they outcoached many other guys or any other teams, other coaches, they outcoached them. And they did it was almost like smoke and mirrors. But they got it done to go, 9-7-1? Tremendous year. And, you know, the problem with the Giants right now, a lot of improvements, we'll talk about that, but is the fact that it's just they're the Cowboys, the Eagles. And then, you know, I watched the games and been watching Washington this preseason, and I just go, they got a lot of difference makers too. So it's going to be a tough year. But I think the coaches and all that, I think they're ready to go and try to show everybody they can not only do what they did last year, but maybe do it better.
And I always wonder how year two works, because when you make such a big impression in year one, teams catch up, teams adapt to what you're doing. And I just wonder how they're going to handle maybe some regression this year, if there is going to be any.
Listen, it's a better team. I think it's easily a better roster to look at. They have wide receivers now. Wow. I mean, last year I'd watch every John game. It was amazing. I just go, gosh, who's out there? Not only that, you know, besides the receiving group, I went down to practice. Jalen Hyatt's impressive. Paris Campbell's got a chance. Sterling Shepard. And then they bring back Wandale Robinson. He's back on practice and everything. So that is awesome. I think the offensive line's actually, is better too than it was last year. And Saquon Barkley, all I can say is I was at practice. I don't get, wowed that easily because I've played and I've just followed the game so close. When Saquon Barkley ran by me a few times, he looked like he was totally on a different level of anybody chasing him or trying to get to him. And he was. He doesn't run. It's just a series of jumps. So It's really impressive. So Saquon with a better offensive line, better receivers, Daniel Jones, bigger, stronger, throwing the ball, awesome. I mean, really, truly awesome. All this is going to help Saquon and help the football team a lot. And, of course, you know, the defense, I would just have one question. Can they consistently pressure the quarterback? And I think, to me, that's the biggest worry the Giants have.
Let's get to the next down. Phil Simms here with us. So we talk about all those offensive pieces. A big guy that they got this offseason was Darren Waller. We've seen tight end role just continue to evolve in this league. Like, you look at Kansas City, their number one pass-catching weapon is Travis Kelce. We saw how Brady and Gronk worked for all those years. If Waller could stay healthy, I can't wait to see that connection with Daniel Jones.
Well, either can I, because I know this, what little we saw in the preseason from Daniel Jones and, of course, Darren Waller, is that you can see they can put the tight end or any of their players in position where they gain an advantage because of the formation, the movement, whatever it is. And Darren Waller, I'd never seen him in person until I went down to watch practice, and he's a giant. I couldn't get over. I don't know what's his official height, 6'7"? It looked like he was 6'10". Of course, I'm shrinking as I get older, but I don't care. He was really impressive looking, and physically he looks great, running well, and he can catch it. So everywhere, anybody that's ever coached Darren Waller, the one thing they've all said with it right away, never seen this kind of talent with a tight end with his size. And so that says a lot, and I think he's going to have a huge impact on this Giant football team and, of course, the offense especially.
Circling back to what you said about Saquon, we all know this is a big year for him. We know what he means to this football team, but then you get into the contract situation as well. How did you react to how that played out this summer, and do you feel like when you're watching Saquon, that's another reason why you think you're going to get the best version of him, because he's trying to show the Giants this year, all right, you got to go pay me for the future?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt that's part of it, you know. But look, the thing is, he's a pro. He's a star. And he's still the biggest name on the Giants. When I went to practice, it was Saquon. Every jersey you looked at was Saquon. My grandson went with me. Who do you think he wore? Saquon. And so the Giant fans love him. They should. I think he's going to have a terrific year. Of course, with running backs, it's always about can they stay healthy. But, again, Myers didn't lie to me. And I know he'll be motivated. But he's going to run. It's not going to change. He's not going to be better because he's more motivated. You can't be in the shape that like he's in and perform the way he has without being motivated just for the fact he wants to be great. And I'm excited for him. I hope it starts out well for him, all that. And I hope he puts the Giants in a position where, and they do too, we want to pay you more money, have a great year and all this stuff. So it's going to be interesting. But I think, as we've already talked, the line, the receivers, the tight end, the quarterback's better. All that is all going to go into helping Saquon.
Which son do I have to yell out of yours where your grandson is not wearing a Phil Simms jersey?
Well, I didn't want him to.
Is that right?
It's my daughter's oldest. So he's 7 years old. So
okay. You know,
he doesn't know much. He's enamored with Saquon and, you know, the Giants and whoever's the hot guy that we all look at. And I'm sure the next jersey he'll probably wear around here will be Aaron Rodgers, because we've heard a lot about him, too. So he's a young kid. I enjoy his enthusiasm. In fact, he's out in the driveway right now playing basketball. Pick up basketball. He's 7.
Wow.
There's about 10 kids out in the driveway all around his age playing pickup basketball outside. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you're allowed to do this. But I pulled up and saw them all out there, and you know, I just went, this is awesome. And I stood out there for about 15 minutes just watching them, and it was great. It's good to see kids having fun like that.
Let's get to the next down. Phil Simms here with us. So you talked about how this team is better. The quarterback took a big step last year, got paid like he is a franchise guy. But when you view Daniel Jones, where's Phil Simms' confidence that he is the next franchise quarterback for the Giants?
It's very high. And it was high last year, but of course now it's really high. And I think I'm pretty smart in this way. is the fact that he has tremendous size. I mean, he is one big dude. You can tell he changed his body through hard work during the offseason. But he didn't change it just because, oh, I want to look better. No, he did it because it's making him a better player. And what I followed him kind of during the offseason where he throws with a guy down south, QB country, something like that. But the guy does a really good job. But just watching him throw, you know, as practice was going on, when they were doing drills and everything like that, to me, it was so noticeable that he was throwing the ball with more power, controls it great. You know, it just doesn't get away from him, and it didn't last year. And the ball, the rotation of the ball, it was incredible. I mean, I'm telling you, physically, Daniel Jones is up there when you talk about NFL quarterbacks. And just think about him last year. I listened to the radio, which I sometimes shouldn't do. But there they are, and I'm not going to say who they were, commentating, well, you know, Daniel Jones, he only threw 15 touchdowns. Shut up. That's what I want to yell at the radio. I probably did. Shut up. Oh, we're going to judge it all on touchdowns. Well, he only threw 5 interceptions. How was that? Oh, he ran for over 700 yards. Oh, he maybe had the worst receiving group in the NFL, and he still did what he did. The Giants went 9-7-1. But, you know, when you're a hater, which many people were, and I understand, they can't turn it off. They cannot. It's, well, we'll just see if he can duplicate. I don't know if he's going to duplicate it. I just think, I'm just telling you, they're a better team, they're a better roster, and he is a better talent now than he was last year also. And here's the last thing, because I, of course, have to talk about Daniel Jones a lot. He doesn't miss. When you watch him play, I always say to him, tell me what game he didn't play well or really well in last year. Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's some. Well, tell me. You're such an expert. And, of course, the answer is always nothing. But I thought he played really well last year for the Giants. Probably one of his worst games was the playoff game or the 2 Philly games he played in. That was probably the toughest ones. But that might be because Philadelphia's pretty good, too.
Let's get to the final down. I love it. Right. I fired up Phil Simms here with us. So I heard Peter Schrager the other day on Good Morning Football say the Giants are his dark horse Super Bowl contender. Do you kind of see this team being a Super Bowl contender this year or not ready yet?
I'm not ready. I mean, look, it's possible they're going to start, what, 2 rookie corners. So that's pretty tough and everything. But like I said, I think it's funny. I don't have any issues now with the offense. It's amazing what they've done with it. But the big thing is, like I said, right off the top, can they get to the quarterback? And if you can't pressure the quarterback enough in this league, even bad quarterbacks will tear you apart. You know, corners need help. And you put them out there in the island every once in a while. But if they're not good enough, you can't do it as much as you want and be aggressive. So I look at this. When you talk about the Giants, they really need Kayvon Thibodeau
100%. To
and be a star. Second year, NFL's tough for pass rushers early because there's so much to learn and the tackles are good and they're huge. And we'll see. But watching him, just what I did in practice and a little bit that he didn't play much of preseason, but the speed and the quickness and all that is there. Now he's just got to apply it, make it work during games. But I think he's a huge key for the Giants' success this year.
And he has to have a breakout season. I couldn't agree more. All righty, Phil Simms, before we let you run, Rodgers in the summer, Steve Young said it to me the other week, it's a summer of Aaron Rodgers, and he's kind of jealous of it. He's been handling New York the right way. Any advice to Aaron Rodgers on how to deal with the Big Apple?
Oh, look, Aaron Rodgers can deal with about anything, and, you know, so I don't know. I will just say this about him. You know, he is, of course, a special talent, and it's not going to be what everybody expects. I think they're going to control the game that they're playing. He knows how to do that. He knows how to look and feel the game and how he should play accordingly. In other words, hey, our defense is really struggling. I got to be more aggressive on the offensive side to get some more points. Or things are going well. You got a small lead. Now it's protect, do all the things that he is really great at. And I mean this as a compliment. You got to be careful with words sometimes. He is a terrific, terrific game manager. And he might be one of the best throwers I've ever seen in history, throwing the plays that we can't miss, the 10 and 12 yards and under. If the guy's got a little window and he's open, you can't miss it. So mean, he makes all the ordinary plays. And, of course, every once in a while he's going to make a special play. But I think he's going to be – he's not going to throw for 5,000 yards. I don't even know if he'll throw for 4,000 yards. The numbers might not be tremendous. That doesn't matter to me. It's about managing what he's doing on the offensive side and how it fits in with the team and what's the strength of the Jets. You know, tell me.
Defense.
And the pass rush. Oh, my gosh. It's just line them up and run as hard as you can and go up to the quarterback. And after two downs come out, we'll give you a little break and we'll send another wave of pass rushers. It might be overall one of the best, if not the best, defensive lines rushing a passer in the depth that I've ever seen. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. So we'll see if it holds true during the season.
With all that being said, they're in a loaded conference. They're in a loaded division. All right, you got Miami. You got the Bills. I don't think the Patriots are a contender to win the AFC East, but do you feel like the Jets win the AFC East this year?
Well, I think they got a great chance. And, you know, I don't think anybody in the AFC East is going to go 15-2 or 14-3. I don't know if they'll go 12-5. It's going to be tough. The whole conference is loaded with talent. The quarterbacks are insane. So, you know, even Kansas City, everybody talks about them. Hey, it's going to be rough for them too. It's going to be rough for everybody because there's just so much competition in the AFC and so many quarterbacks that even if their team's not with them, they still have a chance to beat you. Team's playing bad, but the quarterback can disguise a lot of that, especially when we talk about the quality of the guys in the NFC.
Well, we can't wait to see you next weekend, NFL on CBS for the first NFL Sunday. In the meantime, I hear you're big in the podcasting world now with your son. Is that right?
Well, we're going to do it. Yeah, we're going to do it. In fact, I just saw him a few minutes ago. I didn't get a chance. I said, we're going to throw one out there next week. I got some things that are bothering me that I just might have to air them out.
Some hot takes coming from Phil Simms. You got to love it.
Oh, yeah. That's what's great. Hey, listen, that's why I love doing radio interviews, too, because it's a little more freeing. And, I'm not, come on, we got to go to commercial right away. But I can say things that I'll never get a chance to probably say on TV. So it's what's great. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, Phil, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for doing this.
Right,
be well.
Have a good day. Thanks again.
Well, we do have to get to commercial break. It is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. When we come on back, let's go off how we ended that conversation with Phil Simms. The AFC East, who's going to win it this year? We discuss next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So we know the AFC East on paper is the best division in the NFL. But in terms of who's going to win the division, it's also probably the most intriguing as well. Like, you look at the AFC North. I think the Bengals are going to win that division, but it could still be a really good division. You look at the AFC South, the Jaguars are easily going to win that division as long as Trevor Lawrence is healthy. The AFC West, there's intrigue, but we all know Kansas City's going to win that division. It's just how many other teams can they get into the playoffs? The NFC East, I know the Cowboys are going to be good. I'd be shocked if the Eagles don't win the division. I know how long they haven't had a repeat division winner. NFC West, you know that's the 49ers division to lose. The NFC North, intrigue. I think most people would say it's either the Lions or the Vikings. Don't be surprised if the Packers go make a run. And the NFC South, we don't know who's going to win that division, but it's not intriguing because the winner of that division could very well be 8-9 like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a year ago. So I look at this AFC East, and I know that a lot of people could say, well, Zach, you gave the Bengals the benefit of the doubt. Why aren't you giving the Bills the benefit of the doubt? Because this is the first time we've seen people actually question the Buffalo Bills. And we'll play that audio with Tyler Medakevich in just a bit from yesterday because he's a member of the Buffalo Bills, and we have that audio ready to go. Well, let's just play it. You have my first question in there, Hickey? Okay, let's listen up, hear the audio, and then we'll react to it. Last year, you guys were everyone's Super Bowl pick. Now I know you hear the noise. People are questioning your coach. They're questioning your quarterback and wide receiver relationship. People are saying the Bills are no longer a Super Bowl contender. What's your message, Tyler, to people that are doubting the Buffalo Bills entering this season?
Oh, that stuff's just comical. You know what I'm saying? All that nonsense. You try not to pay attention to it and stuff like that. And shoot, we're just getting ready for the season. You know, like I said before, it's a long year, man. And you just got to make sure you guys are gelling at the right time, hitting on the right time, all phases of the game. And that's an important thing. You know, you got to stay healthy too. It's a tough, every week is a grind. Every week is a battle. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You know you're in for a dogfight. So we could sustain that stuff all year. You know, we'll be in a great, great position by the end of the season.
And you guys have been right there for the last few years. You talked about the health. That's the biggest part of this. If you guys are healthy, what type of football team do you feel like you have?
Oh, I mean, man, we got a special team. You know, I think if anything, it's been unfortunate the last 3 years, you know, how every year has ended. But, I mean, we got such a core group of guys still here and that have been through the ringer and stuff like that. And just we really just tried to learn from it, man. And I think we got the right guys in the building right now that are just all bought in, ready to do whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to let the guy next to them down. So hopefully we can hold up that Super Bowl championship at the end of the year.
So that's from Tyler Medicevich, who once again is a Bills captain who does a great job on the special teams. But like, I'll just throw back out that AFC East, AFC North stuff. The AFC East got better this offseason. The Dolphins got better. The Jets got better. You look at the North, the Ravens got better. The Browns, you're not going to have Deshaun Watson out to start the year. And the Steelers look like they're ready to take that next step too. But when you look at the AFC East to the AFC North, the last few years, the Bengals have dominated that division. The last few years in the AFC East, the Bills have dominated that division. Now, people are doubting the Bills. People aren't doubting the Bengals. I think a big part of that is because they've been Super Bowl AFC championship game. The Bills went from AFC championship game. They blew it in the divisional round up against the Chiefs. And then last year, they just got steamrolled by the Bengals in the divisional round after a very lackluster performance up against the Miami Dolphins in the wild card round too. So I'll just ask you this, Hickey. And you've been someone that's usually been a little bit more critical than Buffalo than others. Do you think it's fair that people are not giving the Bills the benefit of the doubt, at least in the AFC East, entering this season? Forget the chase to the Super Bowl and representing the AFC, just the AFC East, because, you know, maybe they're still the majority pick if we put out a poll question. But there's been a big push for the Jets, especially with Aaron Rodgers there. And there's also been a lot of believers in the Miami Dolphins, though.
I would say the Bills still deserve the benefit of the doubt in the AFC East alone. They still should be the team to be in the East. Again, that's a division that they've owned. And while the other two teams have gotten better, for sure, the Bills, to their credit so far, have proved it.
So there's one thing to say that they still should be the pick for most people. But are they your pick? Do you have confidence where there's one thing to say, they should still be the favorites, and I like the way that you put it. The Bills should still be the favorites in the AFC East. But do you have confidence that they'll definitely win that AFC East?
They're my pick, yes.
And you usually are not very kind to Josh Allen and also Sean McDermott through the years.
I like to think I'm realistic, and I'm being realistic and truthful in this very prognostication.
Wow.
They're going to win the AFC East. I will not go, well, leave it there.
No, but you saying you like to be realistic with the Bills. At one point, you were saying Carson Wentz was better than Mr.
I was caught
Allen.
In a fit of rage when Jonathan Taylor ran for 5 touchdowns against him, and was I feeling it? Yes. And I think the quickest I've ever walked back anything on this show was that comment, where it was like less than 24 hours. I apologize to the audience that was a bad take, and I do recognize I said it, but also I recognize that right away walked it back.
So I kind of wake up every day and have a different feeling on this. Where the Bills should still be the favorite to win the AFC East. But then one day I'll wake up, I'll say it's the Dolphins. The next day I'll wake up, I'll say it's the Jets. I'm not saying it's my Patriots because I don't believe the Patriots have a shot or a prayer to win the AFC East. But then part of me does go, right, like how many times do we usually praise a team and say that this team's going to be great and there's so much hype on a team and then that team craps the bed and isn't ready for the moment. But then it also works the other way too, where there's a lot of times where teams get too much criticism and too much blame. And there's reasons to be critical of the Bills and to give them blame for what happened the last year, but then it goes to a different level. And there is part of me, Hickey, that this offseason, even though there's a reason to be concerned about the Bills, it's got taken to a level where part of it's kind of spiraled out of control. And whenever a team receives that much doubt, and they and say what you want about the Bills not meeting the expectations the last few years, they've been close. They've been right there. And don't you kind of feel as if eventually, if you get doubted that many times, you still have a good roster, you usually prove people wrong. So that could factor into the conversation as well. That's the one division where I look around. I'll tell you right now. AFC West, it's the Chiefs. AFC North, it's the Bengals, my pick. The South, it's the Jaguars. The NFC East, Eagles. NFC West, 49ers. NFC North, I had some hesitation, but I'm going with the Vikings. NFC South, I'll take the Falcons. You could basically have four teams on a board, and whatever finger you put on that board, and that's the team, you could pick that way and blindfold someone. But in the AFC East, I really wonder, when I make the official predictions next week, where I'm going to land. Because for most of this offseason, I've been Dolphins are going to win this division. I said that 1,000 times on this show. And then it's like you have the Ramsey injury. Armstead, I know he avoided a major injury, but how healthy is he going to be? They didn't go out and get Jonathan Taylor. You know, there's questions about Mike McDaniel. The Jets have grown on me. Well, I remember back when they first got Aaron Rodgers, I said they're not a Super Bowl contender. Where I only have five teams that I look at as Super Bowl contenders. It's the Chiefs. It's the Bengals. Still the Bills because they've been close. And then the Eagles and the 49ers. But the Jets now, after getting Dalvin Cook, the offseason that they've had, Aaron Rodgers being like the perfect leader for this team, that monster defense that they have, the Jets are absolutely a Super Bowl contender. So that pick that I'm going to eventually make in the AFC East next week, I truly do not know who I'm going to pick. And I keep on looking back at the Bills, and something that makes me want to pick the Bills is I feel that there was a certain amount of criticism that they should have got, but now it's gone to a level where I think we're at like a ridiculous rate where there's been too much criticism of the Buffalo Bills. And maybe it's just because that was a team everyone believed in last year. And that's what makes it more difficult is when everyone believes in you and then you disappoint, that makes the outcry and the frustration and the offseason narrative just grow over and over and over and larger and larger and larger and exponentially when you have so many months to talk about a team that a lot of people believed in. And ultimately, not only did they come up short, they came up short in what was an embarrassing fashion.
And there's one thing to believe in the Bills strike to win the division. It's a whole other thing when you talk about playoffs now. Can they get through and break through and get to the Super Bowl for the first time in the Josh Allen era? Totally different. But yeah, I will, at least with the Jets. Is the Jets' belief in part of Hard Knocks?
No.
Are you buying in from what HBO is pumping out?
Well, the thing with Hard Knocks, and I've said this for years, the last few years, Hard Knocks is better on social media now than it is when you watch the entire thing. I thought you maybe had like one good episode of Hard Knocks, and I find it funny how all Robert Sala did was bitch about Hard Knocks. He looks great on Hard Knocks. That was such a boss move last night. They had him roll up with the Sopranos theme song. So that guy, all he did was cry and bitch and complain about Hard Knocks. He looks great on the show. I think if you look at one person on Hard Knocks that it did wonders for, it was Robert Sala. Even after the first episode, when he basically looked like he was riding shotgun with Aaron Rodgers, then he had that fiery speech. He brings in that guy that has the one player, I think it was Mecole Hardman, predict the score. Last night, he's got the Sopranos music. And he's looked great on Hard Knocks. But I wouldn't say my belief level in the Jets is because of Hard Knocks. It's really because, ironically, in a league now that doesn't care about the running back position, they've done everything this year. They get Rodgers, and they go out there, they get Dalvin Cook, and you have now Breece Hall back. Offensive line, a little bit of a concern, no doubt about it. That's going to decide their season. But defensively, you just heard Phil Simms say it, they get after the quarterback. And you have Garrett Wilson, 1,100 yards last year with no quarterback? And you had the reigning defensive rookie of the year as well in Sauce Gardner with one of the better interior players in the league in Quinnen Williams. So there's a lot of reasons to believe in the Jets. So I wouldn't say that it was tied to Hard Knocks, though. But you know what I'm fascinated by with you? For really the Matthew Stafford stuff, which you were all on,
where when Matthew Stafford goes to the Rams, you said, folks, we just saw it with Tom Brady. Brady picks a new team, they win a Super Bowl. That's why you picked, to your credit, I'll give you your praise for this one, you were adamant that the Rams were going to win the Super Bowl. So Matthew Stafford is not the same quarterback as Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback. That's what surprises me with you with Rodgers, is you were so confident in Stafford, who's the lesser player. Why can't Aaron Rodgers do what Matthew Stafford did with the Rams?
I think the Rams have more talent, and I think Matthew Stafford, again, is someone that I would trust in more. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is changing his ways. He's someone who can dress up on the camera and make things seem one way. In reality, he's another. And I don't think he's going to, with a lot of pressure on him this year, come through in the clutch, because that's also another thing he struggled with big time. The last few years is playing well, and it matters most. I don't think he will.
But, okay, so that's fair, the playoff argument. But it's not as if Stafford had any success before that. Like, at least Rodgers has won a Super Bowl.
My thing with Stafford is I thought he's a better quarterback, and the Lions are taking him down. Like, the Lions are preventing him from having more success and being and getting more playoff wins and getting in the playoffs more.
Fair, but he's still not a better quarterback than Rodgers.
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying, I think going to a new team, I don't think it's just easy to say, oh, you're on a new team for the first time in your career, like, everything's going to go smoothly. I don't think it's the case with Aaron Rodgers. I think Matthew Stafford adjusted better. And again, I like the team at the Rams a lot better than I do the Jets.
Now, the Rams accomplished more. But what made, I'm just wondering here, asking, what made the Rams a much better team than the team the Jets have right now?
Because the Rams with Jared Goff, who they felt like they were kind of nurturing along, went to the second round of the playoffs. The Jets were 7-10. So, it's you know, the Rams, again, were way more loaded and a playoff team where the Jets were, again, it's in the mix like in week 15, but...
But you do look at that roster, right? Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the league at the time. You have Quinnen Williams, who's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league. You have more names at pass rush. Now, I know they ended up getting Von Miller, but I'm talking about the team formed. Back end, you had Jalen Ramsey, right, who's a great secondary player. You have Sauce Gardner, who just won Rookie of the Year. Cooper Kupp turned into be this great wide receiver, all-time great season with the Triple Crown. Garrett Wilson just had 1,100 yards with Zach Wilson. You have more established running backs than what the Rams had. Where you look at the Jets, you got Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall. Now, that offensive line, I'll give them credit. It's better than what the Jets have, and that's a big factor. And, you know, Whitworth was phenomenal. But I don't think the talent discrepancy between those two teams is that much different. And I'm not telling you the Jets are going to go win the Super Bowl, but I look at this Jets team, the sky's the limit for them. It really is for this upcoming season. And I find this funny how this works. All throughout the summer, I wouldn't call the Jets a Super Bowl contender. You were like, the Jets are a Super Bowl contender. And now we have kind of reversed roles where I'm making the case for the Jets and you're kind of saying why you don't believe in the Jets.
I never said the Jets are a Super Bowl contender. I've never been on them. I've been out since day one.
But you said Super Bowl or bust for them.
That should be expectation for them, yeah. I think anything short of that is a failure, but that doesn't mean I don't think they're coming anywhere near that. But you get Aaron Rodgers, it's not like, oh, we went into the first round of the playoffs, that's a great success. No, it's not. You got a 39-year-old quarterback, you're going all in. Going to the playoffs for the first time since 2010 is not a success. Expectations for what you should think or what you would call a success versus like how I think they're actually going to do to me are two different things.
Ack, let me ask you this. At the end of the season, how do you think we're talking about the Jets? What do the Jets accomplish?
Well, they're definitely going to the playoffs.
So Hickey will be wrong on that when he says the Jets are missing the playoffs. I agree with you.
You know, look, it's hard to predict only because once you get to the playoffs, it's about matchups, partially luck.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at weather conditions sometimes. But they have the guy. I mean, look, you know, we all thought that Buffalo was probably the most complete team, and look what happened there. So they have the guy. The question is, and the guy at quarterback, that is, the question is he still at the top of his game, and does he have to be? Like, if let's say Aaron Rodgers is, you know, let's say 85% of what he was in his prime in Green Bay.
So 10 times better than what Zach Wilson was.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But is that good enough, and does it have to be good enough? Because the Jets' defense looks like it's going to be so good, and they look, they do have a lot of weapons on offense, too. Yeah. So, but, you know, the line's obviously a concern, but can that defense take pressure off him where he can afford a little drop at his age?
And I know it doesn't always work this way, when you go from one season to the next. But mm-hmm. you would assume bringing in Aaron Rodgers, bare minimum, is a 3-win improvement, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I know there's other factors, like the division's really good. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the rest of the schedule got some big marquee games. The schedule to start the year is tough. I got to think that this is bare minimum a 10-win team.
I was going to say, if they don't win 10, it's a huge disappointment. I mean, and that's a 10. I mean, we're both thinking that they need to win more than 10, 11, 12.
I think it's just get to the playoffs. Put it this way. I don't think just getting to the playoffs is a successful season for the Jets. But you look back at that Brady first year with the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even win their division. They were not humming for most of the season.
Yeah, it's all about...
It's about being the right team in the playoffs.
Being the right team in the right time.
So if they win 10 games, I think some people be like, oh, that's disappointment. But then if they get to the playoffs and that defense is healthy and Rodgers is...
But if you don't win 10 games, you're not making the playoffs, though. Most likely not.
You would have to hold your breath.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of years where we say this conference is the best conference, and then there's two or three teams that don't end up meeting those expectations.
Because you have to think, all right, the Chargers are knocking on the door of the playoffs.
Yep.
You still have the Chiefs. You know, whoever.
Bengals, Bills. Dolphins in the mix.
Yes.
Ravens.
You know, you figure the Ravens are due for a bounce back, and the Steelers have looked good so far.
And the Jags will win the division.
You know, yeah. So there you go.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we come on back, let's throw out a dark horse Super Bowl candidate each. Peter Schrager today on Good Morning Football said, it's the Giants. Interesting.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I was listening or watching Good Morning Football earlier this AM, and Peter Schrager, they were doing a segment of Dark Horse Super Bowl contenders, and sometimes you throw out a team and it's like, is that really a Dark Horse team? But his was a wow, wow, wow moment where he goes with the New York Giants. And even Phil Simms, when he joined us about 50 minutes ago, was like, yeah, I don't see that one either. And he's optimistic about the Giants this season. So when we go Dark Horse Super Bowl contender, I've said mine throughout the summer. But Hickey, who is your Dark Horse Super Bowl team for this upcoming season as a chance to be going to Las Vegas and joining us there?
Cleveland, you're welcome. Fire it up. The Cleveland Browns. Dark horse. Should we start singing? Should we get Ken Carmen on the line?
No, because I don't want to see Deshaun Watson in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Come
Super
on, Zach.
Super Browns.
There it is.
And I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns, and it's 1st and 10. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hey.
Make that case, because that is a wild team. There's no doubt about it. Even though that team's loaded with talent, that is still a wow team if you're looking for a dark horse Super Bowl contender. A
lot of talent for them. Obviously, the problem has been quarterback. And I know Deshaun Watson has been out for a year and a half. Look, last year, I think the 5 games he played is all about knocking the rust off, getting used to the offense. I take nothing away from that in the sense of concern. It looked ugly. We think a lot of that was trying to get on some sort of the same page and basically have it be the preseason for him for this season specifically. When last time we saw Deshaun Watson, I get it was 2020, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I get the Texans were 4-12. He was great. Everything else around him was a problem.
But he only won 4 games! That's a dumb radio caller take.
Plenty of people have said that. It's so stupid. But anyway, he gets back to that level, this team is good enough to they can go absolutely go to the Super Bowl and win it. Good offensive line, good run game, good defense, get after the quarterback, good secondary, which is important in an AFC with Burrow and Mahomes and Herbert and Lawrence now and Tua and Aaron Rodgers.
Now, he had some good teams with the Texans. I know that we remember the end with the four wins, but what was that lead that he had up against the Chiefs?
24-0.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that?
Well, I know you could blame Bill O'Brien, right, with the coaching, but you're still a quarterback of a team that choked that lead. So I think that there's two questions with Deshaun Watson. Can he get back to elite form? And then also, when the games matter more, it's one thing to get to the playoffs, which would be a win for the Browns this year, but can you elevate that game to get to a Super Bowl and then go out there and win a Super Bowl? My dark horse Super Bowl team, I think, I don't even need to say it, and you could tell me who it is with how much I've talked about this team this summer. Any ideas? You want to take a guess here? I've talked about this team a lot.
Is it the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, it's easily the Seahawks. Because if you're going to do a dark horse team, you got to do it in the NFC. You have to, in my opinion. Because the Eagles and the 49ers are expected to get there, but then it's that chase for who's the third best team, and that could easily be Seattle. Let me just ask you about two teams. Now, both these teams, people are picking them to make the playoffs, but no one's picking them to go to the Super Bowl. Would you consider the Ravens a dark horse Super Bowl contender? Like, I'm not asking your opinion of the Ravens. If I said the Ravens, you consider that a dark horse?
Probably yes. I'll say yes.
Because most people don't think Lamar can win a Super Bowl. I'm not one of those people. And then how about the Chargers? I think most people expect the Chargers to be in the playoffs, but not a Super Bowl. Would you consider them a dark horse Super Bowl contender?
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough for the playoff team to name a dark horse, but a popular playoff team, which both of those are.
Well, there's a difference being a playoff team and then a Super Bowl team. Like the Giants last year were a playoff team. They were in the second round of the playoffs. Doesn't mean people are picking them to go to the Super Bowl. And similarly with Seattle as well, who lost in the first round to the 49ers. All righty, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Coach Mike Sanford Jr. will join us next. College football time.